Wife's hiding my Bible from me.
It's good to see everybody out. It's always wonderful to be here again. We welcome our visitors out that are with us this morning, always encouraged. And we want to encourage that you open up your Bible to follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. And you see, it is the Word of God that is being presented, that we go by, and if you believe something has been misspoken or misused incorrectly, that you bring that to my attention so that we can discuss that, make sure the truth is being taught, that we're both on the right path that leads to heaven. Something that I believe we kind of often overlook or misunderstand within the Word of God, because we focus on one point, and therefore focusing on it so much, we'll overlook the other. And so what I want to talk about this morning is I want to talk about God hates. God's hate. And to the point that we can find many scriptures throughout the Word of God that speak about the Lord hating. And that's something that you don't often hear when you think about the Word of God. When you think about what the scriptures have to say. Many will get caught up, and we can, and it's a good point to bring out is God's love. And go to John chapter 3 and verse 16 and quote that God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that God loves us that much. Loves us so much that he gave his only Son so that we could have a home in heaven. So when I point out that God hates, I'm not overlooking God's love. But I believe it's to that point God loves us so much that it causes God to hate the opposite. So if you open up your Bibles, that's what I want to talk about this morning. Starting with that point of God hates, looking at scriptures that show this. In Proverbs chapter 6, if you turn along with me there, Proverbs 6 is starting and in verse 16. Proverbs 6 is starting in verse 16. It says, "These six things the Lord hates." I mean, right off the bat, here we can see it says six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, a hand that sheds innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates these things. That's what it says. Hates these things. And when you get into your Strong Concordance, you look up the Hebrew word as it goes forth and to that point. And so most of the time it brings out with the word hate in the Old Testament to mean the foe or enemy of. And so when he speaks that he hates these people, these things, these actions are against God. He is against them. He believes that they are his enemy, and those who practice such things are his enemy. We can go to James chapter 4 and verse 4. In James chapter 4 and in verse 4, if you want to read along with me here, it says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Again, so when we talk about hate, especially as you translate it from the Old Testament and the New Testament, it goes forth into that point of kind of enemy, but it's more of a loveless and to the point of persecution. Loveless to the point of persecution is what I have found with the Greek. And so here, bringing out, as we read James 4:4, when we're caught up in the ways of this world and adultery and adulterers and sexual immorality and homosexuality, and we get caught up in drunkenness and lying, you are enemy of God because because these are the things of the world, which God hates. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously." Again, here, the Lord hates divorce. And, you know, I've had people question, well, why would he hate it? What would be wrong? And this brings out here, it covers one with violence. Because when you think of divorce and what comes along with it, what goes along with it, to the point of two people fighting for who gets what. If you have children and how that splits the children of choosing mom or dad and having to decide when to stay with who and how long and the fighting and does that mean they don't love me? Was I part of that? All that goes along in with God hates brings out. Again, these things are not the friendship of the Lord. God hates divorce. Psalm 5, the fifth psalm in verse 5. Psalm 5 and verse 5 says, "The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity." Again, I know we get caught up, and that's the way we often say it. Hate the sin, love the person. And certainly, again, John 3:16, God loves us all. Jesus died so that everyone can have the opportunity to be forgiven. Everybody can have a home in heaven. I'll talk about that a little bit more at the last point of the lesson. But understand why we're in sin. When we choose to continue down a path of sin, when we choose, you know, I read it either last Sunday or Wednesday, I went to Hebrews. At least I know I've read it recently. I think I brought it out. But if you go to Hebrews, and you read in chapter 10, we often just focus on the part of not forsaking the assembly of the saints, stirring up love and good works. But then you get down to verse 26, you get down to that verse after it. It says, "For he who sins willfully, you choose to be on the opposite side of God. Therefore, you choose to be an enemy of the Lord. Therefore, he hates that. You are enemy of God." He hates these things. And he does not have part with them. In Psalm 11, verse 5. 11th Psalm. And read along with me there in verse 5. It says, "The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates." Again, the Lord our God has no part with evil, with sin. He does not participate in it. He does not ordain it. He does not okay it in any manner at all. So we continue to open up the Word of God. We continue. Even when we speak of the children of Israel, though they were the children that God has chosen, the nation that he has told from the time that he chose Abraham, said, "Your descendants will I bless. Your descendants will I bring into this land, and I will give it to them." And he was constantly with them, constantly forgiving them, constantly giving them another chance. But when they were in sin, he did not okay them. Again, we've seen that already as we've been studying the book of Joshua in the adult class. Time and again, when they get caught up in sin, that God is not with them. In Hosea chapter 9, and you read here in verse 15, here it goes forth and talks about the punishment for Israel as they continue to go down the path of sin. And in verse 15 it says, "All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. Because of the evil of their deeds, I will drive them from my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebellious." He says, this is where they got caught up in sin over and over again. This is where they continue.
continue in it, and I will not tolerate it. I will love them no more.
Study the Old Testament. Study the children of Israel. Time again. We just already passed in Joshua where they were supposed to divide on the mountain as they built another altar there at the mountain. And they divided and they read through the law, blessings and cursings. The blessings and the curses. Because as long as they remain faithful, as long as they make their sacrifices, they keep their feasts, they keep the Sabbath day holy, they continue to not worship idols, they don't take the Lord's name in vain, they're going to be blessed. They're going to continue to live in this land that flows with milk and honey. That they did not plant any of these seeds themselves. It's already there. And this is why the manna had stopped. Because they've inherited such a great land. But if they get caught up in the ways of the Amorites, the ways of the Canaanites and the Hittites, and they worship those idols, and they get caught up in forsaking our God, then God says, you will not be blessed. I will drive you out just like I drove them out. Because it wasn't because of their righteousness that they inherit these things, but because of the unrighteousness of these people that they were being chased out, that they were being destroyed. They did not deserve such land, such a blessing. It goes for us today. If we continue in sin, we will not inherit that kingdom in heaven. That home in heaven. When we consider that God hates, we have to understand that we are followers of Christ. That we are to be taking His teachings and making them our own, and His faith and making it our own. And so therefore what God hates, we should hate also. In Psalm 97, verse 10. 97th Psalm. And reading there and in verse 10. Psalm 97 and verse 10 says, you who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the soul of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. He who loves the Lord, you who love God, hate evil. Hate sin. Hate transgression. Hate it. Guys, it's just the reason I believe this is an important lesson, a lesson that needs to be brought out, is because so many are getting caught up in tolerating and being comfortable with, being content with, being surrounded by sin. We just get caught up in the mindset that, well, that's just the way the world is, and I'm not saying it isn't. But we get so caught up in it saying, well, I don't need to teach against it. I don't need to let them know that they're doing wrong. I don't need to say anything about it. I don't need... If we are not doing our part in teaching, if it does not make us sick, if it does not make us upset, it does not anger us, just as when children of Israel got caught up in sin and when they had continued to lie and they get caught up in worshiping idols, they angered the Lord because He hated these things. And yet sometimes I believe it just goes by us and it doesn't bother us one bit. We don't blink an eye when we see people in sin. We don't blink an eye when we hear cursing. We don't blink an eye when we see immodest dressed people and sexual immorality going on. We just see it every day, so we get caught up in it, so used to it, it doesn't bother. It still bothers God. He's seen it since the beginning of time. He has set a day aside to judge us, to judge those who continue in such a path. We must learn to be like God. We are to be holy because He is holy. Therefore, we are to hate these things because He hates these things also. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Again, he says, I hate them.
You hate your deeds. We cannot tolerate sinful action. We do not allow it to continue on. Simply, once again, following the examples, following the teachings that God has given us. We do not tolerate sin. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8. And you read along with me there. And in verse 13. It says, the fear of the Lord is hate, is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Again. To fear God. Fear God and keep His commandments. To fear the Lord is to hate sin. To hate evil. And understand, when we read about people and their actions, I know we're saying we hate their actions. We're praying for them. And I'm not taking away from that. We are to pray for them. We are to shine a light. We have the opportunity and they're willing to study, then you study with them. Jesus sets an example for us. We can read examples by the letters of Paul to the church of Corinth. But we still hate those actions and those who continue in actions and those who are not willing to listen. They're evil. They're caught up in evil ways. When we go to John, we read about one that says, you are of your father, the devil. Why? Because he is a liar from the beginning. Because he comes with his own resources. Because he was a murderer from the beginning of time. And so therefore, those who are caught up in evil actions and continue in evil actions, they are of the devil. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 21. 139th Psalm, verse 21, which reads here, says, do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Again, do I ask that question? Does it bother us? Does it swell in us when we see false teaching being taught? When we read an article on Facebook, in the newspaper, hear it on the radio, something that goes forth and teaches that this sin is okay, that transgenderness is okay, that abortion is okay, that divorce is okay, does it bother us? Do we get caught up in saying, this needs to be taught again? We need to be prepared for when someone tries to bring that into our building, into our congregation. Understand, there are brethren who have swayed away little by little by these teachings, it's part of the world. We need to update it to fit in with everybody else. It does happen. We have to prepare ourselves. Psalm 119, verse 104. Psalm 119, and in verse 104, which reads, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Again, through the Word of God, this is where we learn. This is, once again, not having to. Not taken away from it. This is taking the scriptures that God has blessed us with. What He has given to us to learn from. Where our faith should come from. We have to understand that we should hate sin. We should hate evilness. And again, I said I bring out a point. Doesn't mean that we continue to think that that means they're always going to be our enemy. And we don't take that opportunity to reach out to those, to try to bring them in. But we have to be prepared for battle. So we have Ephesians 6 telling us to put on the armor of God. We are, read scriptures that we are soldiers of the Lord. That the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. Understand, that's because there is a spiritual warfare that we must be fighting.
But you can go from enemy to being a child of God and a brother and sister in Christ. We have to remember that. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, again, we speak of the love of the Lord, because though He hates the sin and He hates the evil and He hates those who are not going to open up their hearts to see the truth, and they're just going to harden their heart as the Pharaoh did and ignore the truth that is there for them. Yet while we're still enemies and in sin, Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have to know that. We have to remember that. We have to be willing to shine His light for it. We have to remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, as we read about the brothers and sisters in Christ there in the church in Corinth at this time, that they at one point were caught up in sin, just as all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It says, "Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Will not inherit the kingdom of God." It says, "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." We don't have to continue to be on the opposite side of God. We can be forgiven. You can choose to come to the other side. I'll tell you, if we're really sitting there thinking about it, as you watch sports, if you enjoy, whether it's racing, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, any sport that it is, race, it's just, you got somebody who you want to win. You're voting for a certain team or a certain person. The other side is the enemy. You don't want to be on the other side of God. It's already gone. We will not be triumphant if we face the Lord. But we will be victorious if we are on His side. In Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Romans chapter 8, and in verse 12 it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." You continue in the way of the world, the way of the body, the way of the flesh, and you continue to live a path down leading to death, in death. But if you have accepted the Lord, you've heard the truth, you believe that He is the Son of God, then you can be born again. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be a child of God and receive that spirit of adoption to cry out to the Lord, our Father, and say, "Father, forgive me, strengthen me, help me," and He will be there for you. So we extend that invitation to any who need to obey the gospel this morning. To obey, to be baptized. Because if you have not done that, and you know the truth, you willfully choose not to do that, and you're on the opposite side of God. You're choosing to be an enemy of the Lord. If there's questions you have that you want to make, you want to do something about it, but you're just not quite sure, there's things that you want to get out, bring it up. Let us talk. Let us study. Let us take care of whatever holds you back. If you're here this morning, you've obeyed the gospel. You are on the Lord's side. You're in the Lord's army. You're a child of God. So you've been struggling. The enemy, Satan, has been going at you. He has set snare after snare and you need the prayers of the brethren. You need brethren to be there to aid you, to strengthen you. Let us know. We're more than happy to assist. We want to help. If there's anything we can do for you, please let it be known as we stay in the same.
Fulfill my cup, let it overflow. Fulfill my cup, let it overflow. Fulfill my cup, let it overflow. Let it overflow with love. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Increase my fear. How precious is the grace of fear. The hour I first believed, the Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. His will my shield, a portion be.